with the result that you turn friends into enemies by the vast amount of the fortune you intend to leave. For the more the heir is to get from you, the more he will rejoice in your taking off. All those sour fellows who criticize other men's lives in a spirit of priggishness and are real enemies to their own lives, playing schoolmaster to the world, you should not consider them worth a farthing, nor should you hesitate to prefer good living to a good reputation. These are voices which you ought to shun, just as Ulysses did. He would not sail past them until he was lashed to the mast. They are no less potent. They lure men from country, parents, friends, and virtuous ways, and by a hope that, if not base, is ill-starred, they wreck them upon a life of baseness. How much better to follow a straight course and attain a goal where the words pleasant and honorable have the same meaning. This end will be possible for us if we understand that there are two classes of objects which either attract us or repel us. We are attracted by such things as riches, pleasures, beauty, ambition, and other such coaxing and pleasing objects. We are repelled by toil, death, pain, disgrace, or lives of greater frugality. We ought, therefore, to train ourselves so that we may avoid a fear of the one or a desire for the other. Let us fight in the opposite fashion. Let us retreat from the objects that allure and rouse ourselves to meet the objects that attack. Do you not see how different is the method of descending a mountain from that employed in climbing upwards? Men coming down a slope bend backwards. Men ascending a steep place lean forward. For, my dear Lucilius, to allow yourself to put your body's weight ahead when coming down, or when climbing up, to throw it backward, is to comply with vice. The pleasures take one downhill, but one must work upwards toward that which is rough and hard to climb. In the one case, let us throw our bodies forward. In the others, let us put the check rein on them. Do you believe me to be stating now that only those men bring ruin to our ears who praise pleasure, who inspire us with fear of pain, that element which is in itself provocative of fear? I believe that we are also injured by those who masquerade under the disguise of the Stoic school, and, at the same time, urge us on into vice. They boast that only the wise man and the learned is a lover. He alone has wisdom in this art. The wise man, too, is best skilled in drinking and feasting. Our study ought to be this alone: up to what age the bloom of love can endure. All this may be regarded as a concession to the ways of Greece. we ourselves should preferably turn our attention to words like these. No man is good by chance. Virtue is something which must be learned. Pleasure is low, petty, to be deemed worthless, shared even by dumb animals, the tiniest and meanest of whom fly towards pleasure. Glory is an empty and fleeting thing, lighter than air. Poverty is an evil to no man, unless he kick against the goads. Death is not an evil. Why need you ask? Death alone is the equal privilege of mankind. Superstition is the misguided idea of a lunatic. It fears those whom it ought to love. It is an outrage upon those whom it worships. For what difference is there between denying the gods and dishonoring them? You should learn such principles as these. Nay, rather you should learn them by heart. Philosophy ought not to try to explain away vice. For a sick man, when his physician bids him live recklessly, is doomed beyond recall. Farewell. Letter 124. On the True Good as Attained by Reason. Full many an ancient precept could I give, didst thou not shrink and feel it shame to learn such lowly duties. But you do not shrink, nor are you deterred by any subtleties of study, for your cultivated mind is not wont to investigate such important subjects in a free and easy manner. I approve your method in that you make everything count towards a certain degree of progress, and in that you are disgruntled only when nothing